From the original classic by Charles Perrault. Color by Technicolor. Walt Disney presents Cinderella.
Cinderella, you're as lovely as your name. Cinderella, you're a sunset in a frame.
Though you're dressed in rags, you wear an air of queenly grace. Anyone can see your heart would be
cover of a storybook slowly opens. On the first page, a turreted castle stands high above a little town.
Once upon a time, in a faraway land, there was a tiny kingdom. Peaceful, prosperous, and rich in romance and tradition. Here in a stately chateau, there lived a widowed gentleman and his little daughter, Cinderella. Although he was a kind and devoted father and gave his beloved child every luxury and comfort, still he felt she needed a mother's care. And so he married again, choosing for his second wife a woman of good family with two daughters just Cinderella's age, by name Anastasia and Rosella. It was upon the untimely death of this good man, however, that the stepmother's true nature was revealed. Cold, cruel, and bitterly jealous of Cinderella's charm and beauty, she was grimly determined to forward the interests of her own two awkward daughters. Thus, as time went by, the chateau fell into disrepair, for the family fortunes were squandered upon the vain and selfish stepsisters, while Cinderella was abused, humiliated, and finally forced to become a servant in her own house. And yet, through it all, Cinderella remained ever gentle and kind. For with each dawn, she found new hope that someday her dreams of happiness would come true.
At Cinderella's bedroom window, a pair of bluebirds open the curtains. Cinderella turns over and snuggles down again. She puts the pillow over her head. One little bird creeps under the pillow. The other calls, "Wake up!" She flicks his tail and he slides down the bed.
Well, serves you right, spoiling people's best dreams. Yes, I know it's a lovely morning, but it was a lovely dream.
The bluebirds perch on her knee.
What kind of a dream? Can't tell. 'Cause if you tell a wish, it won't come true. And after all, a dream is a wish your heart makes when you're fast asleep. In dreams you will lose your heartache. Whatever you wish for, you keep. Have faith in your dreams, and someday your rainbow come smiling through. No matter how your heart is grieving, if you
keep on believing the dream that you wish will come true.
Oh, that clock. Oh, killjoy. I hear you. Come on, get up, you say. Time to start another day. Even he orders me around. Well, there's one thing. They can't order me to stop dreaming. And perhaps someday,
the dreams that I wish will come true.
Cinderella dances round her attic bedroom. She tosses the bed cover into the air, and four birds catch the corners and make the bed, while four more plump up the pillows. She dances behind a screen, and a mouse in a headscarf shoos all the boy mice outside. Two birds drop a sponge into a bowl of water. Now it's so heavy it takes six birds to carry it. They hover over Cinderella's head, showering her with the dripping sponge. The birds hang up her nightgown and drape her simple dress and apron over a chair. The girl mice pull a blue hair ribbon from the dresser drawer. They sing as they mend Cinderella's dress, and a plump little mouse brushes her apron with a tiny feather. Cinderella steps into her dainty black slippers, fastens her apron, and ties back her hair with the pretty blue ribbon.
No matter how your heart is grieving, if you keep on believing the dream that you wish will come true.
Two little mice scuttle under the door.
Wait a minute. One at a time, please. Now, Jack. What's all the fuss about?
New mouse in the house. Brand new. Never saw before. He's a boy. He's a boy.
Oh, a visitor. Well, she'll need a dress and a...
No.
Oh, that does make a difference. He'll need a jacket and shoes and hat. Where? In the trap. Why didn't you say so?
Opening the attic door, Cinderella hurries down a gloomy wooden staircase. Jacques and Luke follow her, jumping from step to step to the landing below, where a little fat mouse is a trembling prisoner in a small metal cage.
Now, calm down, everybody.
She opens the cage.
Oh, the poor little thing scared to death. Jacques, maybe you better explain things to him.
Zook, zook, Cinderella, zook, zook.
The fat mouse tries to punch Jacques.
Like a razor, not to worry about.
Jack explains there is nothing to worry about. The fat mouse smiles with relief.
That's a better. Come on now.
They walk out of the cage.
Well, that's better.
She holds out a tiny yellow jumper.
Well, let's just slip it on for size. Uh-huh. It is a little snug, but it'll have to do. Now for a name. I've got one. Octavia. But for short, we'll call you Gus.
Gus.
Now I've got to hurry. See that he keeps out of trouble, Jack. And don't forget to warn him about the cat.
Zook, zook. Look, can I see a cat?
Jack pretends to be a fierce cat. He menaces Gus, who moves away and falls backwards off the step. Gus peeps up over the edge of the stair. Daylight floods a corridor as Cinderella opens the long red velvet curtains. She crosses the rich purple carpet and slowly opens a bedroom door. Inside, beside a large bed, a big cat lies asleep on a round white cushion trimmed with purple bows. He opens one eye.
Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Come, kitty. Come on.
The cat yawns and stretches and settles back to sleep.
Lucifer, come here.
His nose in the air, the cat slowly walks across the bedroom. In the doorway, he stops and yawns again. Cinderella pulls the door shut.
I'm sorry if Your Highness objects to an early breakfast. It's certainly not my idea to feed you first. It's orders. Come on.
Jack warns Gus to take care as the little mice peep from a mouse hole.
Look at No, Gus, no. Now listen here. Lucifer, not a funny. Lucifer, me.
Lucifer the cat follows Cinderella into the kitchen and sees a bloodhound asleep on the floor. The dog twitches in his dreams.
Bruno. Bruno!
Half asleep, Bruno attacks the rug and smiles foolishly at Cinderella.
Dreaming again. Chasing Lucifer? Catch him this time.
He nods.
That's bad.
Lucifer smirks.
Suppose they heard you upstairs. You know the orders. So if you don't want to lose a nice warm bed, you'd better get rid of those dreams. How?
The dog shakes his head.
Just learn to like cats.
Bruno's horrified.
No, I mean it. Lucifer has his good points, too. For one thing, he...
She stops to think.
Well, sometimes he...
Bruno sniffs.
There must be something good about him.
Lucifer snarls. Bruno laughs. The cunning cat gives a sly smile and stretches his claws. He scratches the dog hard.
Bruno! Oh, Bruno. Come on now. Outside.
Poor Bruno slinks out of the kitchen.
I know it isn't easy, but at least we should try to get along together. And that includes you, Your Majesty.
She puts a bowl of milk in front of Lucifer, slips on her wooden shoes, and goes into the yard.
Breakfast time! Everybody up! Hurry, hurry! Come on, everybody! Breakfast!
As the barnyard animals gather around Cinderella, the excited mice slither and slide down inside the walls of the house. Across the kitchen, they see Lucifer blocking the doorway. Inside the mouse hole, Jack has an idea.
Listen, Tibby. Got an idea. Now somebody gotta sneak out.
One mouse must sneak out. Lucifer will chase him and the others can escape.
We all run out. Now we choose who wanna do it. Tibby, Tibby.
Entwining their tails, Jack chooses one. Gus shakes his hand. Jack has chosen his own tail. Jack looks nervous. The other mice solemnly remove their hats. Bravely, Jack sets out on his mission. He sneaks out of the mouse hole. He tiptoes cautiously across the kitchen floor. The cat is resting his chin on one paw and dabbling the other paw in the milk. Jack has another idea. He waves to the mice, points to the cat's elbow, and kicks his foot in the air. Gus laughs with delight. Jack kicks Lucifer's elbow and he falls face first into his bowl of milk. The angry cat chases Jack furiously around the kitchen, skidding between the table legs. The brave little mouse runs behind the broom and disappears into a mouse hole. Lucifer claws at the wall, but Jack pops out of a hole above his head and waves to the mice. Unseen by the cat, Gus and his friends run safely across the kitchen floor and out into the sunny yard, where Cinderella is feeding the animals.
There you are.
I was wondering. All right, breakfast is served.
She throws the mice a handful of corn, but a flock of chickens swoop forward and peck at the food. Gus tries to stop them.
Make it easy, Gluck Gluck.
He grabs a grain of corn.
Let go now!
A chicken lifts him into the air, then drops him.
Shoo! Poor little Gus. Here, help yourself.
Cinderella puts a pile of corn in front of him. The mice peep over the kitchen doorstep. Jack waves his hat to attract Lucifer's attention. The cat scrabbles at the mouse hole while the mice scamper across the kitchen floor with their grains of corn, dropping one as they go. Gus picks up the dropped kernel. He adds it to the pile under his chin, but the stack is too high and the corn splatters in all directions. Lucifer spots fat little Gus. Jack waves his hat. He grabs a cat's whisker. It comes out in his hand. Gus picks up the pile of corn. It splatters again. Jack grabs Lucifer's tail, but the cat pulls free. He creeps slowly towards Gus, who is struggling with his pile of kernels. The mouse picks up the stack of corn, steadies the top grain with his sharp little teeth, and walks straight towards Lucifer. Jack covers his eyes as Gus bumps into the cat. Lucifer catches Gus by the tail. Jack gives the broom a shove. It falls onto Lucifer's head. Gus gets away, and Jack scrambles back into the mouse hole.
Got away.
Lucifer looks around and spots Gus running up the tablecloth. The mouse collapses into a saucer. Lucifer traps him under a cup.
Cinderella!
The cat hides.
All right. I'm coming.
Oh, my goodness. Morning, noon, and night.
Cinderella!
Coming.
The cat creeps out and finds three cups on the table. He tries two, then sees Cinderella coming back.
I'm coming.
She puts the cups on three trays. The cat is confused. He hides again.
In a minute.
Cinderella fills three teapots with hot water. Lucifer peers over the edge of the table, but the trays have gone. Cinderella is hurrying out of the kitchen, carrying the three trays. She balances one on her head. She starts to climb the grand staircase. Gus peeps from under his cup, and the cat runs upstairs past Cinderella. He sits on the banister post, licking his lips, waiting for her to pass. Climbing the stairs, Cinderella loses her little slipper. As she stops to put it on again, Lucifer lifts the cup on the tray nearest to him, but the saucer is empty. The first bedroom.
Good morning, Drizella. Sleep well?
Yes.
As if you care. Take that ironing and have it back in an hour. 1 hour, you hear?
Yes, Drizella.
She shuts Lucifer out. Along the corridor.
Good morning, Anastasia.
Well, it's about time. Down to get them ending. Don't be all day getting it done, either.
Yes, Anastasia.
Well, come in, child, come in.
Good morning, stepmother.
Pick up the laundry and get on with your duties.
Yes, stepmother.
The third door slams in Lucifer's face. He bares his teeth and lashes his tail. Gus runs past and Lucifer grabs him.
You did it on purpose.
Mother! Oh, mother, mother, mother!
Now, what did you do?
Oh, she put there a big, ugly mouse under my teacup.
All right, Lucifer. What did you do with him? Oh, you're not fooling anybody. We'll just see about this. Come on, let him go. Now the other one. Come on.
Oh, poor little Gus.
The cat lets go, and Gus disappears down a mouse hole.
Oh, Lucifer, won't you ever learn?
Cinderella?
Yes, stepmother.
Lucifer sneaks into the bedroom.
Are you gonna get it?
Close the door, Cinderella.
Her stepsisters peer through the keyhole as Cinderella stands inside the shadowy room. Under a purple canopy, her stern stepmother lies in bed, stroking Lucifer. Cinderella walks across the room, and the cunning cat gives her a sly smile.
Oh, please, you don't think that
Hold your tongue.
Now. It seems we have time on our hands.
But I was only trying to...
Silence!
Time for vicious, practical jokes. Perhaps we can put it to better use. Now, let me see. There's the large carpet in the main hall.
Clean it.
And the windows upstairs and down.
Watch them.
Oh, yes, and the tapestries and the draperies.
But I just
finished... Do them again. And don't forget the garden. Then scrub the terrace, sweep the halls and the stairs, clean the chimneys... And of course, there's the mending and the sewing and the laundry.
She sips her tea.
Oh, yes. And one more thing. See that Lucifer gets his bath.
Lucifer's smile turns to a look of horror. High above the town, in the royal palace, the king hurls his crown through a window and shouts at the Grand Duke.
My son has been avoiding his responsibilities long enough. It's high time he married and settled down.
Of course, Your Majesty. But we must be patient.
I am patient!
He throws an ink bottle.
But I'm not getting any younger, you know. I want to see my grandchildren before I go.
I understand, sir.
No. No, you don't know what it means to see your only child grow farther. Farther and farther away from you. I'm lonely in this desolate palace. I want to hear the pitter-patter of little feet again.
Now, now, Your Majesty. Perhaps if we just let him alone.
Let him alone? With his silly romantic ideas?
But sire, in matters of love...
Love? Ha! Just a boy meeting a girl under the right conditions. So, we're arranging the conditions.
But, Your Majesty, if the prince should suspect...
Suspect? Ah! Look, the boy's coming home today, isn't he?
Yes, sire.
Well, what could be more natural than a ball to celebrate his return?
Nothing, sire.
And if all the eligible maidens in my kingdom just, happened to be there... Why, he's bound to show interest in one of them, isn't he? Isn't he?
Yes, sire.
The moment he does. Soft lights. Romantic music. Oh, the trimming!
The Duke falls.
And possibly faints.
Into a suit of armor.
Can it?
Yes, sire. No, sire. Very well, sir. I should arrange the ball for...
Tonight.
Tonight? Oh, but sire...
Tonight! And see that every eligible maid is there.
Understand? Yes,
Your Majesty.
The pear-shaped toad.
Oh, sing, sweet nightingale, sing, sweet nightingale, high above me.
Lucifer covers his ears. The cat escapes from the room where Drizella is singing and Anastasia is playing the flute. Downstairs, Cinderella is scrubbing the hall floor.
Oh, sing, sweet nightingale, sing, sweet nightingale.
Lucifer sits on the stairs and dabs his paw in the dustpan.
Oh, sing, sweet nightingale, sing.
Cinderella rinses her cloth. In the soap bubbles floating up from the bucket, her many reflections echo her song.
Oh, sing, sweet nightingale, sing. Oh, sing, sweet nightingale, oh, sing, sweet. Oh, sing.
Oh, Lucifer!
The floor is covered with dirty paw marks.
You mean old thing.
She picks up her broom.
I'm just going to have to teach you a lesson.
Open in the name of the king. An urgent message from his imperial majesty.
Thank you.
From the king. What's it say, Cinderella?
What's it say, huh?
I don't know. He said it's urgent.
Maybe I should interrupt the music
sing
lesson.
Sweet nightingale, sing, sweet nightingale, high.
The flute hits Drizella on the chin.
You clumsy! You did it on purpose. Kill
oh,
you.
Girls, girls!
It's her fault, no. Mother.
Above all, self-control. Yes. Cinderella, I've warned you never to interrupt
but
while...
But this just arrived from the palace.
From the palace?
Give it here.
Let me help.
No, it's not. No. You get that
back. I'll read it. Well, there's to be a ball.
A ball?
In honor of His Highness, the Prince.
Oh, the Prince.
And by royal command, every eligible maiden is to attend.
Why, that's us. And I'm so eligible.
Cinderella steps forward.
Why, that means I can go too.
Huh. Her dancing with the prince.
I'd be honored, Your Highness. Would you mind holding my broom?
Well, why not? After all, I'm still a member of the family. And it says, by royal command, every eligible maiden is to attend.
Yes, so it does. Well, I see no reason why you can't go. If you get all your work done.
Oh, I will. I promise.
And if you can find something suitable to wear.
I'm sure I can. Oh, thank you, stepmother. Mother, do you realize what you just said?
Of course. I said, if.
Oh, if.
In the attic, Cinderella shows the mice a dress.
Isn't it lovely? It was my mother's.
Oh.
Well, maybe it is a little old-fashioned, but... Oh, I'll fix that. Oh, yeah, do it. Wait a minute. There ought to be some good ideas in here.
They look at a picture.
Huh? This one.
Oh, very nice. Now.
You like it?
Oh, can do it. It'll be wheezy.
I'll have to shorten the sleeves. I'll need a sash, a ruffle, and something for collar. And then I'll... Oh, now what do they want? Oh, well, guess my dress will just have to wait.
Cinderella! Cinderella!
All right, I'm coming.
She hurries out.
Poor Cinderella. Every time she finds a minute, that's the time when they be given. Cinderella! Cinderella!
Cinderella!
Cinderella, Cinderella, night and day, it's Cinderella. Make the fire, fix the bread.
the dishes, do the mopping, and the sweeping, and the dusting. They always keep her hopping. She'd go around in circles till she's very, very dizzy. Still I holler, keep her busy, Cinderella. Yeah, keep her busy. You know what? Cinderella not go to the ball.
What?
Not go?
What did you say?
You'll see. They fix her. Work, work, work. She'll never get her dress done.
Poor Cinderella.
Hey, we can do it. We can do it, we can do it. We can help our Cinderella. We can make her dress so pretty. There's nothing to it, really.
We'll tie a sash around it. Put a ribbon through it. When dancing at the ball, she'll be more beautiful than all. It's a lovely dress we'll make for Cinderella.
Birds fly in at the window and pull a tape measure from the sewing basket. Gus finds some scissors.
Well, I'll cut it with the scissors.
And I can do the sewing.
Leave the sewing to the women. You go get some trimming.
And we'll make a lovely dress for Cinderella. We'll make a lovely dress for Cinderella.
Follow me, Gus, Gus. I know where to go.
Jack and Gus run into a mouse hole and slide down a spider's web.
Surprise, surprise, pretty surprise for Cinderella.
They scamper down inside the walls. They open a tiny door.
And this too, Cinderella, my slippers. Now don't forget to...
Cinderella, take my dress.
Here, bend the buttonhole.
And press my skirt too and mind the ruffle your own.
And
carry...
Cinderella.
Yes?
When you're through and before you begin your regular chores, I have a few little things.
Very well.
Mother, I don't see why everybody else seems to have such nice things to wear, and I always end up in these old rags. This sash. Well, I wouldn't be seen dead in it.
You should talk. These beads. I'm sick of looking at them. Trash.
Oh, I see why. Oh, I don't
see why I can't.
Come on. Now be careful.
Real careful.
The mice hop down into the room where Lucifer is fast asleep. Jack picks up a pink sash Anastasia has thrown on the floor.
Oh, we can do that, Gus Gus.
They hide under the sash and trail it behind them towards the mouse hole. Lucifer opens one eye and sees the sash crossing the carpet by itself. The sash unrolls as the mice run along inside it. The cat watches it suspiciously. Lucifer spots the mice, but they escape into the mouse hole. His face is squashed as he hits the wall. He lashes his tail. The mice open another tiny door. Gus peeps out. He spots Drizella's bead necklace lying on the floor.
Oh, bead! Oh, very pretty bead. Oh.
Lucifer sees the necklace. He sits on top of it. Jack whispers to Gus. Lucifer stretches his claws. Cheeky Jack walks to a pile of clothes and bites off a button. The cat creeps forward. He spots Gus sneaking out and sits back down on the necklace. Jack bites off another button. The cat slides along the carpet, dragging the necklace with him. The cat's shadow falls on Jack. The mouse flips a button like a tiddlywink and hits Lucifer on the nose. Jumps on the little mouse, who dives for safety into the pile of clothes. Quickly, Gus picks up the necklace. Lucifer searches for Jack under the clothes, but the little mouse is hiding in the fur on the cat's head. He peeps out. Running to the mouse hole, Gus trips over the necklace. The string breaks and the beads fly everywhere. Jack closes Lucifer's eyes, then jumps off the cat's nose and dives under a shirt. Gus pops some beads in his hat. Lucifer follows Jack down a shirt sleeve, but he gets trapped with his head sticking out. He hitches himself across the floor towards the mice. Gus collects more beads while Jacques threads them onto Gus's tail. The cat creeps closer. He opens his mouth wide, but Gus grabs the last bead and Jacques pulls him safely into the mouse hole. Upstairs, Cinderella's dress hangs on a tailor's dummy. A bird holds a tape measure while the girl mice chalk a line on a piece of cloth. Gus and Jacques cut the material, and the birds gather it up and drape it around Cinderella's dress. Gus flies up on a bird's tail and sticks a pin in the waist. Two mice pass a needle back and forth, making neat little stitches. The animals measure out pretty white lace for a collar. Jacques gives a signal. A team of mice haul up a shoe filled with cotton reels, and a girl mouse threads a needle. Two birds loop the pink sash around the dress and tie a bow at the collar. They hang the turquoise beads around the neck of the dummy. Singing happily, Cinderella's little friends put the finishing touches to the pretty pink and white dress just as the palace clock strikes 8 o'clock. The first ball guests are already arriving at the royal palace. They climb the steps up to the grand, brightly lit entrance. Across the town, as the daylight fades, a horse-drawn carriage stops outside Cinderella's house. Still wearing her shabby working clothes and holding her broom, she peeps down from an upstairs window. She knocks at a bedroom door.
Yes?
The carriage is here.
Oh. Why, Cinderella? You're not ready, child.
I'm not going.
Not going? Oh, what a shame. But of course there will be other times and...
Yes. Good night.
Her sisters smile in triumph. Back in her dark bedroom, Cinderella leans on the windowsill and gazes sadly out towards the palace.
Well, what's a royal ball? After all, I suppose it would be frightfully dull and boring and completely wonderful.
Suddenly, candlelight fills the room, and she turns and sees her new party dress.
It's my...
Happy birthday!
No. Why, I never dreamed it. It's such a surprise. Oh, how can I ever... Oh, thank you so much.
Downstairs, the sisters follow their mother towards the front door.
Now remember, when you're presented to His Highness, be sure...
Wait! Please, wait for me!
Cinderella is wearing the new dress.
Do you like it? Do you think it will do?
Cinderella!
Mother, she can't!
You wouldn't be that...
No, you can't!
Girls, please. After all, we did make a bargain. Didn't we, Cinderella? And I never go back on my word. How very clever. These beads, they give it just the right touch. Don't you think so, Drizella?
No, I don't. I think she's... Oh, why, you little thief! They're my beads! Give them here!
Oh, no!
Oh, and look, that's my sash wearing my sash.
She can't!
Drizella grabs at the beads and ribbons, and Anastasia tugs at the sash till the dress is torn to shreds.
Girls, girls. That's quite enough. Hurry along now, both of you. I won't have you upsetting yourselves.
The spiteful sisters leave, followed by their mother.
Good night.
Perched on the staircase, the horrified mice watch as Cinderella, in her ruined party dress, runs tearfully across the hall and out through the open doorway. In the barnyard, Bruno and a cart horse look up in surprise as she rushes past them and disappears into the shadowy garden. Under a weeping willow tree, silver in the moonlight, she drops beside a stone bench and, sobbing, buries her head in her arms. Bruno and the cart horse join the mice, who have crept out sadly onto the terrace. The animals look at each other helplessly as the unhappy girl weeps with disappointment. Unseen by Cinderella, a magic light fills the garden.
Oh no, no, it's true.
Now, the air is bright with silver stardust.
It's just no use. No use at all.
The mice creep forward as a kindly figure in a blue cloak appears.
I can't believe, not anymore. There's nothing left to believe in. Nothing.
Nothing, my dear? Oh, now you don't really mean that.
Oh, but I do.
Nonsense, child. If you'd lost all your faith, I couldn't be here. And here I am. Oh, come now, dry those tears. You can't go to the ball looking like that.
The ball? Oh, but I'm not.
Of course you are. But we'll have to hurry, because even miracles take a little time.
Miracles?
Mm-hmm. Watch. What in the world did I do with that magic wand? I was sure.
Magic wand?
That is strange. I always.
Why, then you must be.
Your fairy godmother? Of course. Where is that wand? I forgot. I put it away.
It appears in her hand.
Look at what she did. How she do it?
Now, let's see. I'd say the first thing you need is a pumpkin.
A pumpkin?
Mm-hmm. Now, the magic words.
She waves the magic wand.
Salagadoola-mentricaboola-bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Put them together, and what have you got? Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Salagadoola-mentricaboola-bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. It'll do magic, believe it or not. Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
A pumpkin comes to life.
A mentricaboola-roo. But the thingamabob that does the job is bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
The stems of the orange pumpkin curl around into circles and become huge wheels supporting a magnificent golden coach. The animals gather round.
Yes, isn't it? Now, with an elegant coach like that, of course, we'll simply have to have, mice.
Mice?
Oh, this really is nice. Why, we'll have a coach and four when we're through. Just a wave of my stick and to finish the trick. Bibbidi, bobbidi, boo! Gracious, what did I do? I was sure there were four. There should be one more. There you are.
Gus runs.
Bibbidi, bobbidi, boo!
Lucifer catches him, but Gus turns into the fourth horse. The cat falls into the fountain.
Oh, poor Lucifer.
Serves him right, I'd say. Now, where were we? Oh, goodness, yes. You can't go to the ball without, a horse.
Another?
But tonight, for a change, you'll handle the reins and sit in the driver's seat, too. Well, instead of a horse, you're the coachman, of course. Bibbidi, bobbidi, boo.
The cart horse turns into a coachman.
Well, that does it, I guess. Except for, oh, yes, the finishing touch. And that's you. Yes, Bruno, that's right. You'll be footman tonight. Bibbidi, bobbidi, boo.
Bruno opens the door.
Well, hop in, my dear. We can't waste time. Don't try to thank me.
Oh, I wasn't. I mean, I do, but don't you think my dress...
Yes, it's lovely, dear. Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Cinderella looks relieved.
Now, let's see, dear. Your size and the shade of your eyes. Mm-hmm. Something simple. But daring, too. Oh, just leave it to me. What a gown this will be.
The ragged dress becomes an elegant white ball gown.
Oh, it's a beautiful dress. Did you ever see such a beautiful dress? And look, glass slippers. Why, it's like a dream. A wonderful dream come true.
Yes, my child. But like all dreams, well, I'm afraid this can't last forever. You'll have only till midnight, and then...
Midnight? Oh, thank you.
Oh, no, just a minute. You must understand, my dear. On the stroke of 12, the spell will be broken, and everything will be as it was before.
Oh, I understand, but it's more than I ever hoped for.
Bless you, my child. Goodness me, it's getting late. Hurry up, dear, the ball can't wait. Have a good time, dance, be gay. Now off you go, you're on your way.
She disappears in a burst of stars, and Cinderella is carried away through the moonlit town. The high-stepping horses prance across a high bridge and swoop under a stone archway, drawing the golden coach towards the royal palace. In the great hall of the palace, a footman announces the attractive young ladies who follow each other down a red carpet and curtsy to the handsome young prince. He bows stiffly but politely to each one.
Mademoiselle Augustina Dubois, the daughter of General Pierre Dubois.
The king is watching his son from the balcony. Eventually, looking exasperated, he turns to the Grand Duke.
The boy isn't cooperating.
Mademoiselle Leonora Mercedes de la Tour, daughter of Colonel and Madame de la Tour.
The king looks hopeful as another pretty girl curtsies, but the prince yawns with boredom.
I can't understand it. There must be at least one who'd make a suitable mother.
Shh, son.
A suitable wife.
At last, Cinderella arrives at the palace and shyly makes her way along a wide corridor. The king's soldiers, standing to attention on either side, stare in admiration at the beautiful young girl as she climbs the grand staircase leading up to the great hall and peeps inside.
The Mademoiselles Drizella and Anastasia Tremaine, daughters of Lady Tremaine.
The king shudders as the clumsy sisters curtsy.
I give up. Even I couldn't expect the boy to...
Well, if I may say so, Your Majesty, I did try to warn you, but you, sire, are incurably romantic. No doubt you saw the whole pretty picture in detail. The young prince, bowing to the assembly. Suddenly he stops. He looks up. For lo, there she stands. The girl of his dreams. She is, or whence she came, he knows not, nor does he care. But his heart tells him that here is the maid predestined to be his bride. A pretty plot for fairy tales, sire, but in real life, oh no. It was foredoomed to failure.
Failure, eh? Take a look at that, you pompous windbag. Who is she? Do you know her?
No, sire. I've never seen her before.
Ooh, that's one thing in her favor. The waltz! Quick, the waltz!
Lights! The lights!
The prince has seen Cinderella. Entranced, he takes her hand and leads her onto the dance floor. The lights dim, and the handsome couple begin to waltz in perfect harmony across the shadowy ballroom. The king rubs his hands with satisfaction.
Failure, eh? Well, now for a good night's sleep.
Oh, quite so, sire. I believe I too.
You will stay right here. See, they're not disturbed. And when the boy proposes, notify me immediately.
Notify me, Jimmy.
And remember, if anything goes wrong...
He dances a few steps with an astonished butler, then skips away happily down the corridor. The ballroom.
But who is she, Mother?
Do we know her?
Well, the prince certainly seems to. But I know I've never seen her.
Nor I. But she certainly is. Wait. There is something familiar about her.
She tries to follow the young couple as they waltz out of the ballroom, but the Duke closes a curtain and stands in her way.
Oh. Him.
As they dance on the terrace, Cinderella gazes dreamily into the prince's eyes.
So this is love. So this is love. So this is what makes life. I'm all aglow. And now I know.
And now I know.
The key to all heaven is mine. My heart has wings, and I can fly. I'll touch every star in the sky. So this is the miracle.
Hand in hand in the moonlit palace garden.
So this is love.
The prince gently kisses Cinderella.
Oh, my goodness.
What's the matter?
It's midnight.
Yes, so it is, but why?
Goodbye.
No, wait. You can't go now. It's only...
Oh, I must. Please, I must.
But why?
Well, the prince. I haven't met the prince.
The prince? But didn't you know that...
Goodbye.
No, wait. Come back. Oh, please come back. I don't even know your name. How will I find you? Wait. Please wait.
Goodbye.
She runs past the Duke.
Your lady. Wait.
She runs back through the ballroom. She loses a slipper.
Mademoiselle.
Stops.
Señorita.
Rushes on.
Just a moment.
She flies down the stairs. The coach is waiting.
Close those gates.
The golden coach hurtles into the night.
Follow that boat. Close those gates.
A troop of horsemen gallop out of the palace gates after Cinderella. Their cloaks stream behind them as they race through the town following the golden coach. Cinderella looks back anxiously. The king's men get closer and closer. Her gown turns to rags and the coach to a pumpkin. On the last stroke of midnight, the horses turn back into mice. They hide on the side of the road as the king's men gallop by. The pumpkin is smashed to smithereens.
I'm sorry. I guess I forgot about everything. Even the time, but it was so wonderful. And he was so handsome, and when we danced, oh, I'm sure that even the prince himself couldn't have been more... Oh, well, it's over and...
Look, a flipper!
Yeah, a flipper!
She's still wearing one glass slipper.
Oh.
She looks up into the sky.
Thank you. Thank you so much for everything.
Next morning at the palace, the nervous Duke is rehearsing outside the king's bedroom.
Your Majesty, I see no point in beating about the bush. I regret to inform you, sire, that the young lady has disappeared, leaving behind only this glass slipper. Yes, I'll do it.
He goes to knock.
No, I just can't.
He listens at the bedroom door. The king is asleep. He dreams he is playing with his grandchildren. He wakes up. He falls out of bed.
Well, come in. Come in!
Your Majesty.
So, he's proposed already.
Tell me all about it.
Well, sire, who is she? Where does she live?
Well, I didn't get a chance.
No matter. We've more important things to discuss. Arrangements for the wedding, invitations, a national holiday, all that sort of thing.
But, sire.
Here, have a cigar. Well, take a few more.
But.
Better practice passing these out, eh?
But, if you'd only listen.
And for you.
Drawing a sword.
Your Majesty, please.
A knighthood. I hereby dub you, sir. By the way, what title would you like?
Sire, she got away.
Sir, she got away. A peculiar title, but if that's what you... She what? Why, you traitor!
Now, sire, remember, your blood pressure.
Treason!
Brandishing the sword.
No, sire, no!
Sabotage! You were in league with the prince all along.
I tried to stop her. But she vanished into thin air.
A light big story.
But it's true, sire. All we could find was this glass slipper.
The whole thing was a plot.
But, sire, he loves her. He won't rest till he finds her. He's determined to marry her.
What? They bounce on the bed.
What did you say?
The prince, sire, swears he'll marry none but the girl who fits this slipper.
He said that, did he? Ha ha! No!
No! They fall through the bed.
But, sire, this slipper may fit any number of girls.
That's his problem. He's given his word. We'll hold him to it.
No, no, your highness. I'll have nothing to do with it.
You'll try this on every maid in my kingdom. And if the shoe fits, bring her in.
Yes, your majesty.
A royal proclamation is posted on the palace gate.
Cinderella? Cinderella? Cinderella! Oh, where is that?
Yes, here I am.
Oh, my daughters. Where are they?
I think they're still in bed.
Oh. Well, don't just stand there. Bring up the breakfast trays at once. And hurry.
Oh, what's the matter?
Where's your mother?
I don't know.
The mice watch curiously as Cinderella's stepmother hurries up the stairs. Jack pushes Gus into a mouse hole.
Drizella. Drizella.
What?
Get up. Quick, this instant. We haven't a moment to lose. Anastasia? Anastasia.
The mice peep out.
Get up, Anastasia.
Huh? What for?
Oh, everyone's talking about it. The whole kingdom. Oh, hurry now. He'll be here in a minute.
Who will?
The Grand Duke. He's been hunting all night.
Hunting?
For that girl. The one who lost her slipper at the ball last night. They say he's madly in love with her.
The Duke is? Ugh,
no, no, no. The prince.
Cinderella drops her tray.
Prince.
You clumsy little fool. Clean that up. And then help my daughter's dress.
What for?
If he's in love with that girl, why should we even bother?
Now you two, listen to me. There is still a chance that one of you can get him.
Huh? One of us?
Why, Mother, what do you mean?
Just
this. No one, not even the prince, knows who that girl is.
We know! Cinderella!
The glass slipper is their only clue. Now, the Duke has been ordered to try it on every girl in the kingdom. And if one can be found whom the slipper fits, then, by the king's command, that girl shall be the prince's bride.
His bride?
His bride? Cinderella, get my things together. Never mind her. Let me try to win.
They pile clothes into Cinderella's arms, but she only smiles at them dreamily.
My shoes, get my shoes.
What's the matter with her?
Wake up, stupid.
We've got to get
dressed. Oh, yes. Oh, we must get dressed. It would never do for the Duke to see me looking.
Mother, did you see what she did? Why,
are you just going to let her walk
out? Yes.
So this is love.
Cinderella climbs the narrow staircase to her bedroom. Her stepmother narrows her eyes suspiciously and starts to follow. The mice hide as she sweeps past them.
What's she going to do?
Shh, I don't know. Gotta watch it. Come on.
They run into a mouse hole. They pop out again at the top of the stairs. Desperately, the mice try to warn Cinderella. Too late.
What?
Her stepmother locks the bedroom door.
No, please. Oh, you can't. You just can't. Let me out. You must let me out. You can't take me.
The cruel woman pockets the key.
She can't lock up Pretty Molly. I'm going to...
Oh, please, please.
We gotta get that key, Duster. We just gotta get that key.
A coach draws up outside the house.
Whoa!
The mice watch from a window.
He's over here. He's over here. A doo-doo. A ram-doo. Gotta get that key, quick.
The sisters get themselves ready.
Oh, Mother! Mother! He's here! He's here!
Brad, you
feel wonderful, right? I'm so excited, I just don't know what
I'll
do.
Now remember, this is your last chance. Don't fail me.
She opens the door.
Announcing His Imperial Grace, the Grand Duke.
You honor our humble home.
Quite so.
May I present my daughter? Drizella, Anastasia.
Your Grace.
There's a child, I'm sure.
His Grace will read a royal proclamation.
All loyal subjects of His Imperial Majesty are hereby notified by royal proclamation.
The footman produces the slipper.
Slipper. It is upon this day's decree.
Why, that's my slipper. Well, I like that. It's my slipper.
No, no, no. Cinderella slipper.
How can she stand here in the liberty?
Girls, girls. Your manners. Thousand pardons, Your Grace. Please continue.
Yes, quite so. Yes. It is upon this day decreed that a quest be instituted throughout the length and breadth of our domain. The sole and express purpose of...
The Duke gabbles the long proclamation, and stepmother leans on the table and taps her fingers impatiently. Hiding in a teacup, the mice know that the key is in her pocket. Determined to rescue Cinderella, they creep cautiously across the tabletop, past the tapping fingers. Jack stretches out and Gus lowers him into the pocket by his tail. The little mouse drops to the bottom and struggles to lift the heavy key. He pushes it up towards Gus. Gus can almost reach it. He stretches forward to grab it, but suddenly, stepmother smiles maliciously and puts her hand in her pocket. Horrified, Gus tries to warn his friend. The key drops on Jack's head. Patting her pocket, she squashes him.
So be it.
The Duke sits.
You must be quite fatigued, Your Grace. May we offer you some tea?
What? Tea? Thank you, madam. No. We must proceed with the fitting.
Of course. Anastasia, dear.
She holds out her foot.
There. I knew it was my slipper. Oh, exactly my size. I always wear the same size. As soon as I saw it, I said... Oh, well, it may be a trifle snug today. You know how it is. Dancing all night. I can't understand why. It's always fit perfectly before. I don't think you're half trying. Mother, can you...
Quiet, my dear.
We mustn't disturb His Grace. Young man, are you sure you're trying it on the right foot?
The mice grab the key.
The right foot, but...
They slide down onto the floor.
He's always reliable.
Come on, Gus, flurry. Up the stairs, up the stairs.
Jack points up the stairs. The tiny mice heave the huge iron key up the steep staircase. Gasping for breath, they push it higher and higher, lifting and hauling it step by step. Gus staggers on the edge of a step, trying desperately to keep his balance. The heavy key topples over on top of Jack as he tries to help his friend. Jack grabs him by the tail and he scrambles up over the edge. Anastasia kicks the footman.
Why can't you hold still a minute?
Oh, my word. Enough of this.
He falls on the piano.
The next young lady, please.
At the top of the stairs, the mice run along the hallway and squeeze under a door.
Come on,
more stairs. Gus collapses. They start to climb. Locked in her room, Cinderella peeps through the keyhole.
I'm coming, Cinderella. I'm coming. I'm thinking now.
You've got the key. How did you ever manage it? Lucifer, let him go.
Gus is trapped.
Please, let him go. Let him go.
Let him go. Let him out.
Jacques bites Lucifer's tail. Gus escapes with the key, but Lucifer catches him again. More mice charge out of a mouse hole carrying forks. The cat flips them against the wall. Three mice light a candle and roll it towards Lucifer on a cotton reel. He takes a deep breath. He blows out the flame. A plate hits him on the head. Birds drop cups and dishes on top of him. Gus escapes again. He runs back for the key. Lucifer catches him again.
Bruno. Yes, Bruno. Quick, get Bruno. Get Bruno.
Two birds fly out of the tower window and down into the barnyard. Bruno is asleep outside the stable. The birds fly round his head, trying to rouse the sleepy dog. They pull at his ears and his tail. The horse wakes him up. In the house.
Oh, of all the stupid little idiots, I'll do it myself. Get away from me. I'll make it fit.
It fits. It fits.
The delicate glass slipper flips off Drizella's foot, but the Duke catches it safely on his outstretched finger.
Oh, Your Grace. I'm dreadfully sorry. It shan't happen again.
Precisely, madam.
Outside, Bruno races across the yard. He scrabbles at the half door and the birds heave him over. The dog rushes into the house and up the attic stairs. He stops as he sees Lucifer. The cat's fur stands on end and he jumps out of the window and falls to the bottom of the tower. Gus is still clinging to the key.
Don't.
Jack grabs it from him, and they push it under Cinderella's door.
You are the only ladies of the household, I hope, I presume.
There's no one else, Your Grace.
Quite so. Good day. Good day.
Your Grace! Your Grace! Please, wait. May I try it on?
Oh, pay no attention to her.
It's only Cinderella.
Scullery.
From the kitchen.
It's ridiculous.
Impossible. She's out of her mind.
Yes, just an imaginative child.
Madam, my orders were every maiden. My child.
He sits her down, and the footman steps forward, carrying the glass slipper on a velvet cushion. Cinderella's spiteful stepmother sticks out her cane. The footman trips.
No. Oh, this is terrible. The king, what will he say? What will he do?
But perhaps if it would help.
No, no, nothing can help now. Nothing.
But you see, I have the other slipper.
The delighted Duke kisses the glass slipper, and the animals cheer. He tries it on Cinderella's foot. A perfect fit. The golden bells ring out on Cinderella's wedding day. As the handsome prince leads his bride down the grand staircase, she loses a tiny slipper. The king picks it up and slips it back onto her foot. She gives him a kiss. Blushing with pleasure, he waves to the happy pair as they drive away in the royal coach. They lived happily ever after. The end. The audio description of this film was written by Di Langford, read by Joanna Myers, and recorded by Pete Collins. Cinderella, a Walt Disney production, with the talents of Elaine Woods, Helene Stanley, Eleanor Audley, Louis Van Ruten, Verna Felton, Don Barclay, Claire Dubray, Rhoda Williams, James MacDonald. Special processes, UB Iwerks, sound director, C.O. Slyfield, sound recording, Harold J. Steck, Robert O. Cook. Film editor, Donald Halliday,